not very visible, but we don't see the soldiers. We don't see the military power of America, but we see the economic power of the multinationals and globalization. And we see the misery of poor people, the increasing poverty, the increasing unemployment. We see the factories that are being closed down, the men and women workers who are dismissed and lose their work and become beggars. When I say economic war is more invisible than military war, and all military wars are economic, because George Bush went to Iraq for the oil, it's economic. Sharon is killing the Palestinians to take their land, it's economic. And also, the economic war of globalization is economic. But in some countries, like Egypt, we don't have yet military invasion. They may. But now the U.S. Army and the Jews and Congolese they are threatening Syria and Iran, you know. And they are threatening countries and they are threatening Egypt also. So maybe they will invade Syria or Iran or Egypt. So we are living in a very dangerous period in which the nuclear power speaks and dominates and the economic power serves. In our region, Israel is the only government state that has nuclear power. All other countries are not allowed to have nuclear power, even for medicine, even for peace, even for health. In Egypt, we are not allowed to develop our nuclear power for health. And Israel is allowed to develop its nuclear power for military reasons. You see how we are living in a jungle.
Thank you. emotion of the woman can only be like when the society changes in a society where there's no globalization.
Yes.
We have to fight them. Because what do you mean by globalization also? Because there is globalization from above and there is globalization from below. For example, alternative media is globalization from below. The World Social Forum. I went to Puerto Rico to find at the one day for the World Social Forum. This is a sort of globalization and bringing men and women transnationally from below to fight against the World Bank, IMF, and globalization from above. So we have two types of globalization. Negative one, unjust one, capitalist one, colonial, neo-colonial one, and we have the resistance of people like you and me. We are resisting against this exploitation. So your question was about globalization and the emancipation of emancipated women or men under capitalist globalization. We can't. Because if we have poverty, you will have the economic inequality, and when you have poverty, the people cannot have democracy. What's democracy? Democracy means that I must have my job, security, economic security, and I must be free. But if you have poverty, you are not free. You will be a slave to go and work for food, and even you don't find work, so what's that? There is no democracy. Democracy is not just to go and vote. Democracy is not just elections. Democracy is to change the society to be equal. Equal chances for everybody. Everybody should have work, dignity, sexual pleasure, economic freedom, social, political, religious. You are free. You are a free human being. That means democracy. Not to just to go and vote for Mubarak or Bush or Condoleezza Rice, you know.
Debate on the film here. I've seen yesterday on the debate there was a lot about this film, and it's a really sensible subject.
As I said yesterday, you know, my father was a Islamic professor. He never failed us. He sent me to the medical college with men, and he told me you have to criticize everything with your mind, even religion. So it depends, you know, within each religion. There are many schools. In Islam, there are many schools. There are the progressive school, like my father, who look for Islam as an emancipation, as something that is looked upon as just as freedom and love. You know, there are many Muslims like that. Many women are Muslims, not really, and they fight for justice and freedom and love for everyone. But that's the correct struggle. That's the priority. But there are many women who are misled by the veil. And I think that their identity is related to covering their head. This is false. Because I studied the Quran, as I said, and I compared the Quran to the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I found that the oppression of women and veiling of women and polygamy and open slavery and all that started in the Old Testament. It's more harsh in the Old Testament. And then less harsh in the New Testament, and less harsh in the Quran. If you compare the Quran with the Old Testament, the Quran is a liberal book, very liberal in relation to women and society and everything. But behind that, you know, politically, they hide Islam and they try to portray Islam as the devil, the only bad religion against democracy, against women, etc., etc., for political reasons, you know, as I mentioned yesterday. So those women who veil themselves and cover their head, they are misled, they are ignorant of their religion, of the progressive schools in their religion, and also they are paradoxical, because most of them, they hide their hair, but they put makeup, which I call a postmodern veil. They make plastic surgery to hide their wrinkles. They even show their belly and navel according to the fashion. And they think they are, this is their identity, Islamic identity. It's ridiculous. And there is a lot of hypocrisy here. But those young women who are very young, sometimes they are pushed by political organizations to do that.
there are a lot of girls I know as well who wear the veil. The veil, most of the veil, like they have an identity, but they don't know what they are in Europe.
Because they initiate as to the, what do we mean by identity? What do we mean by identity? I am very critical of identity politics. If you read my book, I have a book published in English by Zip Books in London called Novel Academy Reader. About on the cover it's written, what do you mean by identity? Everywhere I go, they tell me, who are you? Who are you? Are you Muslim? Are you Christian? What's that? This is a false question. Because I think I am working, and our group is working, to humanize the identity. For a human identity, we are human. We have to work for equality, freedom, and justice. Not to say that our religion is the best, our country is the best, my color is the best, my identity is the best. This is a fault. This is division. And the many, many colonial rule, the neo-colonial rule, they encourage this division. That's why they publish a lot of books about religion, about Islam, about it, because they need that. And they encourage many here. Though in France, they prohibited religious science in schools, including the veil. But in France, in Belgium, etc., they prefer a Muslim religious fanatic woman with a veil than a secular progressive woman against colonial and neo-colonial capitalism and against globalization. And they give you an example. For instance, if an Islamic group, Islamic feminists, they call Islamic feminists or Christian feminists in Egypt, they apply for funds from the U.S., they give them funds. But if we apply as a progressive secular group against the American invasion in Iraq, against the killing of the Palestinians, against the globalization, against the World Bank, and all that, they don't fund us because we are progressive. But they fund the very actionary religious groups, whether Christian, Muslims, or Jews. Because, as I said, neo-colonial powers, they need God, they need religion to justify injustices. They cannot live without that. And they create. Ben Laden and George Bush are twins. They are twins. They depend on each other, and sometimes they quarrel. And Ben Laden is the son of the U.S. policy. Like in Egypt, Sadat was killed by the Islamic group he created. Ben Laden and Al-Qaeda and Taliban, they were created by the U.S. power, and now they are fighting against the U.S. power. But the son is rebelling against the father. So we have to know how we... That's why many natives speaking about religion. Every language became religion now. Everywhere I go, they ask me about Islam. You know, what's that? This was not like that. When I was in school, in primary school during the 40s, nobody, I lived, my best friends in school were Jewish, Copts, Christians, and Muslim girls. We never asked, who, what are you, what's your religion? Now, everywhere you go, in Egypt or here, in Belgium, they tell me, are you Muslim? What's that? This is reactionary. This is colonialism and neo-colonial powers going back to religion to oppress people and to oppress women and to take our land, our oil, under the name of God.
But you are not totally against religion. You said there are things in religion you can use to religion.
As I told you, if we define religion in a correct way, I am with religion, and I am with God, if God is justice, freedom, and love, and equality. I am against all religion, any religion that is against justice and freedom and love and women. It depends how you define religion, how you look to religion.
In the traditional way, you look to the religion as the things that are written in books.
No, religion is not a book, as my father said, and my dad. Many illiterate people, men and women, they become Muslims or Christians, they inherit religion without reading. it's part of the inheritance, the inherited. My grandmother, she became a Muslim because her father was a Muslim. She never read the book, never read the Quran, but she understood God was just as free and other by her mind, by her natural mind, by her creative mind. You know? So the text is not created, the book. God is not the book. God does not come out of the printing machine, you know. So that's the incorrect way that people are killing themselves because of the text. Each government, each group interpret the text according to their own interest. You remember the girl yesterday who told you, if my husband come and tell me you have to choose between me or your will, I choose my will. And then I asked her why. She said, because my will is my God. She looks to her will and her God. I look to God as justice, not to hide my hair.
But it's like a false debate. There's more. People are like focused on the field. They don't see the wider things.
And that's encouraged here in Belgium and in France and in England and in the United States and in Egypt, everywhere. They encourage women to speak about the field only. Separate from politics, separate from economics. So instead of speaking about globalization, about colonialism, about war, we speak about the veil. Even in Mexico City, you know, I was almost the first doctor in Egypt to condemn female circumcision and no circumcision. I'm very much against cutting children under any reason. But I cannot speak, I cannot write about cutting children or circumcision, male or female, without putting it in its historical, political, economic context. And I did a lecture in the States. The topic was the relationship between George Bush and female circumcision in Egypt. I did a connection between American policy in Egypt and the increasing rate of violent and circumcising women. And there is a relation. Because, as I said, since Sadat, the government of Egypt under Sadat with the government of the U.S., they encourage it. It is the most backward Islamic and Christian fundamentalist movement in Egypt. Number one, to divide the country by religion. Number two, to fight against socialism and communism and the Soviet Union. So there was a revival of religions under Sadat and under America. Policy. So the George Bush, the father. So there was a revival of religions. Women had to be veiled and to be circumcised, etc. So there was a relationship between George Bush policy and female circumcision and veiling of women in Egypt. And we must have this vision. And that's what I mean by global. How we can understand local problems with a global vision. Because we live in one world. We do not live in three worlds. We live in only one world dominated by George Bush, Condoleezza Rice, few men and women, 500 multinationals, and few families all over the world. They own 80% of the wealth of the world, and the majority are poor, and they exploit. They want, they are greedy, they need more profit, more money, more land, more oil. George Bush family, they have a lot of oil, but they need also the oil of Iraq. So it's greed. So we have to understand this and know the connection between sexual oppression or circumcision of boys and girls or veiling, etc., with the American and imperialist and globalization and capitalist system in the world. Without that, we cannot be famous. That's feminism to me. But unfortunately, what's happening that in Egypt and in many countries, the capitalist funding agencies, they give a lot of money to what they call NGOs, who work on female circumcision alone, without the connection, who work about what they call battering women alone, who
I'm writing a novel. Well, I'm a novelist. So now I am writing.